Hello there. Today is Wednesday, March 27th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Lori London in Washington. Coming up, President Trump and his allies are now seeking revenge for what they say are lies that led to the Russia investigation.
It's not just that they reported and spread a slanderous, malicious lie, but they hoped for the takedown of the President of the United States.
British lawmakers take control of Brexit after the prime minister fails to come up with a deal for Britain to leave the EU. Also had a Greenland glacier that was melting, is now growing, but scientists say that may not be a good thing. It's all on today's International Edition. Congressional Democrats are calling for the release of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report, saying the American public deserves to know the details of the investigation that found no alleged collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia during the 2016 campaign. The full details could help answer the lingering question of why Mueller could not rule out an obstruction of justice charge against President Trump. VOA congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports from Capitol Hill on lawmakers' next steps.
The results of the Mueller report now known, but so far only in summary. Attorney General Barr has to act with caution before releasing it in full, Republicans said.
Throwing innocent people under the bus and throwing open classified records doesn't strike me as a good idea. And I trust him to begin to go through this.
But without the full report, Democrats said it is impossible to make an informed decision.
I don't need Attorney General Barr's interpretation of the report. I am for the report. And our main thrust on this issue is simply transparency. Release the report, then come to conclusions.
Heads of six Democratic-controlled House committees formally asked Barr to turn over the report by April 2nd. If he does not comply, a House Judiciary Democrat hinted at their next steps.
As a committee, we have a subpoena power. And frankly, I don't see anything in the special counsel's regulations that would prohibit Attorney General Barr from releasing it. We have a 420-0 vote in the House, the People's House, that indicates that it should be seen, and the percentage of the American people who argue for that point.
Mueller's report welcomed by President Trump, who said it ended some Democrats' discussion of impeachment.
I don't think they're talking about impeachment. We have the greatest economy we've ever had. Our country is in incredible shape. They and others created a fraud on our country with this ridiculous witch hunt, where it was proven very strongly. No collusion, no obstruction, no nothing.
Democrats say the full report could help resolve lingering questions about Mueller's decision not to fully exonerate Trump of obstruction of justice charges, even as they push for a renewed focus on policy. But they are also still forging ahead with their own investigations into other Trump activities, including his tax returns and foreign business dealings.
Meanwhile, President Trump and his political allies have been taking a victory lap following news of the report's outcome. But it's clear that the president remains angry about the Russia probe and those who supported it. VOA national correspondent Jim Malone has more on that part of the story.
President Trump was in a mood to vent about the just concluded Russia probe.
I will tell you, I love this country. I love this country as much as I can love anything. My family, my country, my God. But what they did, it was a false narrative. It was a terrible thing. We can never let this happen to another president again.
Despite his irritation, Trump will likely be taking some victory laps this week after the special counsel investigation led by Robert Mueller found no evidence of collusion between Russia and the 2016 Trump campaign, including the president himself. But Mueller was less conclusive about whether the president had engaged in obstruction of justice. Attorney General William Barr decided there was insufficient evidence to proceed on that charge, but he also cited Mueller's conclusion that did not exonerate Trump on the obstruction issue. Trump allies were in attack mode, targeting the news media on Monday, including White House spokeswoman Sarah Sanders.
It's not just that they reported and spread a slanderous, malicious lie, but they hoped for the takedown of the President of the United States.
Another stalwart Trump defender, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, said it was time for the country to move on.
There's some people who are never going to accept the Mueller report, what I say, or what Mr. Barr does. But by any reasonable standard, Mr. Mueller thoroughly investigated the Trump campaign.
Opposition Democrats want to know more about Mueller's focus on obstruction of justice. They are also demanding the release of the full Mueller report. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler.
His conclusions raise more questions than the answer, given the fact that Mueller uncovered evidence that, in his own words, does not exonerate the president.
Mueller's decision not to offer an opinion on obstruction is significant, says former federal prosecutor Preet Bharara.
It was a very close case. Bob Mueller decided not to make a determination about whether or not a charge could be brought. And you only do that if there's substantial evidence.
The lingering questions about presidential obstruction could also become a 2020 campaign issue for Democratic contenders like Senator Bernie Sanders.
I want the whole damn report. Because nobody, especially this president, is above the law.
Trump still faces investigations by Congress and prosecutors in New York, but the special counsel's report clearly gives Trump a political boost as he moves into campaign mode ahead of his reelection effort next year. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
Here are some of the stories we are following at voanews.com. U.S. sanctions network supporting Iran's Revolutionary Guards. Venezuela's streets are empty after a second blackout in a month. Vice President Pence calls for landing U.S. astronauts on the moon in 5 years. An Oscar-winning documentary lifts the stigma around menstruation in an Indian village. Find expanded coverage of these stories and more at voanews.com and on our VOA mobile app. This is International Edition. Britain's beleaguered Prime Minister Theresa May gathered her ministers Tuesday for yet another emergency cabinet meeting as the House of Commons upended centuries of constitutional practice and seized control of parliamentary business from the government in a bid to end the long-running impasse over Brexit. Some lawmakers worry the votes to try to find consensus may end up revealing there's no workable consensus, in which that could push the political climate into further chaos. Joining us now is London-based reporter Amy Gutman. Amy, Theresa May admits she can't get agreement on her Brexit plan, and now Parliament has taken control. What exactly does that mean, and where does it go from here?
That's right. So this is fairly unprecedented, members of Parliament taking over this process. But you're correct. It was simply a case of Theresa May conceding the fact that she could not reach consensus here and, of course, put to a vote and Parliament voted to take control. So what we know now is that MPs will hold a series of votes on alternate Brexit options. And this will be interesting because this is everyone's, including the naysayers, chance to provide alternate proposals. And this is something that Theresa May has been frustrated by a lot in the past, the fact that so many people have been so critical of her proposals, yet very few have come forward with any workable options. So interestingly, the hardline, the pro-Brexit MPs who previously were opposed to Mrs. May's deals are now considering backing it after the vote raised the chances of a softer Brexit. So there's that political play happening. Meantime, we have three ministers in her party who just resigned so that they could back a rebel group of conservatives who want to propose their own alternatives to May's Brexit deal. So there's a lot of political shuffling going on here.
I understand there's also a petition that actually is calling for Brexit to be stopped by revoking the UK's Article 50 letter.
That's correct. So there was a petition signed which amassed 5.75 million signatures. This is the most signed petition ever on the House of Commons and Government Petitions website. In fact, it even crashed the Parliament website several times. Dozens of high-profile celebrities are behind this. And this is a petition to revoke the UK's Article 50 letter. And Article 50 basically stops Brexit. What's interesting is that this was originally dismissed, and Parliament was not going to have a vote or even a debate about a second referendum and revoking Article 50. But now, because of this, massive turnout and these almost 6 million signatures and a march that was held over the weekend, MPs have decided to hold a debate, so not a vote, but a debate about the possibility of revoking the UK's Article 50 letter. This is revoking Brexit. They'll hold that debate later today. Interestingly, at the same time, they're also going to debate another petition. Now, this was signed by a far fewer number of people, only about 150,000 people, demanding that the UK leave with or without a deal on March 29th. So interesting to compare almost 6 million signatures saying no Brexit at all, and only 150,000 people saying, deal or no deal, we got to get out on March 29th. But in a case of fair dues, both petitions will be debated next week. Now, a government spokesman has come out and said that they will not revoke Article 50. They will honor the result of the original referendum. However, the debate is an opportunity to allow the public a voice, and we'll see what emerges from the debate. Perhaps there will be a vote taken on whether to hold a second referendum. Meantime, the EU stands by its position, which is that they've offered two different date extensions for Brexit, either April 12th or May 22nd. And there will be the key dates in Parliament next week where they will discuss both of these petitions and also vote on alternate proposals for Brexit will be Monday and Wednesday.
If there were to be another referendum, is there any sense of how that would go and if Brexit could actually be reversed so that the UK doesn't leave the EU?
It's very difficult to imagine that there will be a second referendum. This is something that many hardliners in the ruling party, that's the Conservatives, are really against. They feel very firmly that risks democracy, really, at its heart, that this is what the people voted on. And even those who say, well, I wish I could take it back, you know, that's not how these things really work. You have a vote, and the vote is the vote. You know, the result is the result. So it's been difficult to imagine that there will be a second referendum. If there were to be, I certainly think that we'd see a much larger majority voting to remain than we saw previously. Whether we would see enough to tip the balance and revoke the Article 50 letter and Brexit altogether is also difficult to imagine, because at this point, so many people are so fed up with Europe. After all of the negotiations and the going back and forth and the hard lines that they've drawn, there is some sentiment that is certainly anti-EU at the moment. And a lot of the issues haven't changed.
London-based reporter Amy Gutman. Suicides of three people linked to mass school shootings in the United States in just over a week is prompting questions if one suicide may have inspired others and if any of them could have been prevented. Two students from a Florida high school where a gunman killed 17 students last year took their own lives within a week of each other this month. Also, the father of a young child, one of 20 other children, killed in an elementary school shooting in Connecticut, took his life. An expert tells VOA that deaths by gun and suicide are a major part of the U.S. health crisis. Zlatika Hoke reports.
A year and a month after the mass shooting in a high school in Parkland, Florida, the wounds have not healed. On March the 17th, former student Sydney Aiello was reported dead by suicide. Her parents said she had suffered from survivor's guilt and had recently been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. A second Parkland shooting survivor died by suicide within a week. On Monday, the father of a young girl killed in the 2012 elementary school shooting in Connecticut was found in his office dead by apparent suicide.
And many people who live through horrible traumatic events develop some sort of post-traumatic stress disorder. It can be ongoing. And sadly, suicide can result from ongoing post-traumatic stress disorder.
Gail Saltz, professor of psychiatry at New York Presbyterian Hospital, says seeing a person who has gone through a similar trauma resort to suicide may prompt others in a similar situation to do the same.
It takes someone who probably was already considering suicide.
Saltz told VOA it is crucial to provide immediate and ongoing support to people who have undergone horrific trauma. Their community should keep a watch over them, and the news media should emphasize how a suicide affects the community of the person who died.
We want to talk about how awful it is for them. It's terrible for families. It's terrible for friends. It's terrible for that entire community, and it has real ramifications so that the listener who might be thinking about suicide understands that this doesn't happen in a vacuum. It's not glamorous.
Salt says deaths by suicide are rising in the United States, and most of them are committed by guns.
For the first time in the last couple of years, we've seen life expectancy in this country drop, and the reason is suicides and opioid deaths. And it's very hard to say how many of those opioid deaths are suicides.
After a second Parkland shooting survivor died by suicide, Florida's emergency chief called for the state legislature to dispatch more mental health resources for the high school community where a gunman killed 17 students in February of last year. Zlatica Hoc, VOA News, Washington.
Top European Union leaders joined Chinese President Xi Jinping in Paris in stressing multilateralism to address issues from peace and security to climate change and trade. Lisa Bryant reports from the French capital, where the Chinese leader is wrapping up a European visit.
The Paris meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping came ahead of a key EU-China summit April 9th. It gathered some of the bloc's biggest heavyweights, President Emmanuel Macron of France, Germany's Angela Merkel, and European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker.
Je retiens au fond quatre points de convergence. Le premier...
At a joint press conference following the talks, Macron stressed what he described as areas of convergence between the European Union and China, two of the world's biggest economic powers. Among them, intensifying the fight against climate change, denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, and development and security in Africa.
Ce que nous voulons bâtir ensemble, c'est un cadre multilatéral rénové.
Both sides, Macron said, want to construct a renewed multilateralism that is more just and balanced. President Xi said the world is facing major challenges and peace and development were key. He described the growing threat of protectionism and unilateralism. Several areas stressed by the two sides, including EU-Chinese support for the Paris Climate Agreement and the Iran nuclear deal, contrast with positions taken by U.S. President Donald Trump. The Chinese leader's visit to France is the last leg of a European trip marked by multi-billion dollar deals, including a major Chinese purchase of Airbus planes. Earlier in Rome, Italy became the first G7 nation to sign on to China's ambitious global Belt and Road infrastructure and investment initiative.
Dankeschön, meine Herren Präsidenten. Ich möchte mich als erstes bedanken bei...
The project is controversial, however, and it is one area of division within the European Union. Merkel said Europe wants to join the Belt and Road plan, but it demands reciprocity. Xi's visit was greeted by some rights protests. Media watchdog Reporters Without Borders also released a new report on China's alleged efforts to stifle media freedom abroad as well as at home. Cédric Alviani is the group's East Asia Bureau Director.
What we expect from that report is that all around the world, journalists would start investigating in their city, in their region, in their country, on the way the Chinese authorities are pushing their influence.
Alviani says China's Belt and Road Initiative is one way China is spreading not only its economic, but also its ideological influence. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
Mozambique's president is warning countries ravaged by Cyclone Idai could face more flooding. As Yannick Michel reports for VOA from Maputo, the cyclone's heavy rains, which killed at least 750 people in Mozambique and in neighboring Malawi and Zimbabwe, have also pushed dam retention levels to near maximums.
Mozambique says after heavy rains from Cyclone Idai, the water level behind the Caurabassa Dam, the fourth largest in Africa, is above recommended levels, raising the possibility that a discharge might be required to relieve growing pressure. In addition to Caurabassa, there are concerns about dams in neighboring countries such as Shagwa in Malawi and Kariba in Zimbabwe that are also close to their maximum capacity. A large release of water could worsen the already dire situation for many downstream. We were hammered earlier this month by the cyclone. Nyusi says evacuations are needed as he fears the structural integrity of the dams could be a problem if water pressure grows. He says with the forecast of rainfall until April, there may be a need for a discharge, worsening the flooding. Therefore, says Newsy, there's an urgent need to evacuate populations from risk areas until the situation stabilizes. The Red Cross says Cyclone Idai has made 400,000 people homeless in Mozambique. On Monday, Mozambique's Land and Environment Minister said 128,000 are living in makeshift camps. The National Election Commission has postponed Mozambique electoral census scheduled for April 1st, which could see general elections on October 15 delayed. Election Commission spokesman Paulo Quinica says the date for a new census and any election postponement have yet to be decided. But Quinica says he guarantees that general elections will take place in 2019. The international community has donated more than $70 million for Mozambique's cyclone relief, including $6.5 million pledged by the U.S. Department of Defense. Authorities and donors announced a joint commission to manage the funds and make sure they get to those most in need. Yannick Michel for VOA News, Maputo.
That is Yannick Michel reporting, and you're listening to International Edition on VOA.
The 2019 VOA calendars are in. This year's calendar features a variety of scenic photos that capture U.S. byways, including beautiful photos of the Big Sur Coast Highway and even the historic Route 66. Tune in to Border Crossings at 1500 Universal to request a free calendar.
Voice of America's news, talk, and music programs are now at the tip of your fingers. Find everything at www.voaafrica.com. Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
VOA's International Edition continues. A major Greenland glacier that was one of the fastest shrinking ice and snow masses on Earth is growing again, according to a new NASA study, but that's not necessarily good news. VOA's Kevin Enix reports.
The report discovered that the Jakobshavn Glacier in Greenland isn't just not melting, but according to NASA's Ala Kazandar, it's growing.
Between 2016 and 2017, from two separate NASA airborne missions, we found that near the front, the glacier has thickened by up to 30 meters. That's almost 100 feet in 1 year. And between 2017 and 2018, the same thing again.
It's surprising because since 2012, the glacier has been steadily retreating, about 2.9 kilometers a year, thanks to climate change. But for the last two, it's been gaining ground at around the same rate. The reason? NASA scientists say it's likely because of a temporary cooling trend in Disko Bay, on the western coast of Greenland where the glacier meets the sea. Those cooler waters are allowing the glacier to grow again.
What the measurements in the fjord where this glacier is have demonstrated is that when the glacier was retreating, the waters were quite warm and they were being fed by warm waters from the ocean. And when the glacier started to thicken, that warmth is no longer there. Now, it's not to say that oceans aren't warming, it's just the transfer of heat from the ocean to the face of the glacier has stopped.
To be clear, the scientists involved in the study stress that this doesn't mean climate change isn't happening. It is. The Greenland ice sheet as a whole is still melting at record rates. But it suggests that ocean waters, which absorb most of the Earth's excess heat, are playing a bigger role in melting glaciers than previously thought.
On the long run, it's actually bad news because this study demonstrates how sensitive this glacier and probably others in Greenland, how sensitive it is to ocean variability and specifically, in particular, the temperature of the ocean.
And studies show that ocean temperatures as a whole have been steadily increasing since about the 1960s. Yeah. Kevin Enix, VOA News.
The American Country Music Awards will feature collaborations this year between pop star Khalid and Kane Brown, three-time Grammy winner Brandi Carlile with Dierks Bentley, and pop star Kelly Clarkson pulling double duty with performances with both Jason Aldean and Dan and Shay. The award show is also bringing back its flashback performance slots, this time with upcoming Country Music Hall of Famers Brooks and Dunn and Luke Combs. Miranda Lambert, the most awarded ACM artist with 32 wins, will perform with George Strait and sing a medley of her own hits. Aldean is receiving the American Country Music Awards Artist of the Decade Award during the show, which airs on April 7th. Listening to International Edition. That does it for today's show, but you can find us anytime at voanews.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Greg Burns. I'm Lori London in Washington. Have a great day. Try to call, Twitter me, text until your fingers bleed.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
This is VOA.